Welcome to the What Matters Most podcast, presented by First United Bank and Trust. That's my bank. Visit us today at mybank.com.
Hello and welcome to What Matters Most, a podcast all about finances, community, savings, and security for you, your family, and your business. This podcast is brought to you by the helpful folks at MyBank, First United Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Eric Nutter, and in today's episode, What Matters Most is our monthly economic update. And for this discussion, I am thankful to be joined once again remotely today by Sean McCreary, Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. Sean, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining me as always. And once again, it's that time of the month. Let's talk about the economy and a market review and the positives and negatives. What do you got for us this month?
Yeah, it's definitely continued the volatile year. That's for sure. As of right now, I think this is probably the point at which we're I think the positives are equal to the negatives. I wouldn't say the positives outweigh the negatives right now. In our view, it's kind of a, we could go either way. We could continue recovering from the pullbacks that we've seen year to date, or we could see lower lows, because in bear markets, yeah, on average you see a pullback about 35%, and at the lows that we saw in June, we were only about 25% down. So there could be more pain, but we've also seen some technical things where we're starting to see a bottom, but a lot of it just depends on how things move forward. So I'll start with the positives though. The U.S., the job market really continues to remain strong and tight. And the U.S. added 315,000 jobs in August, basically in line with expectations. Expectations were right around 320,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate did rise though, to 3.7% from 5%. But the participation reason for that was because the participation rate actually rose on the month to 62.4% from 62.1%. That's one thing that's kind of been interesting, and economists aren't sure why that's taken place. A lot of it could be just baby boomers retiring, why participation rate is so low, because even though people reach their age of retirement until I believe about the age of 80, they're still considered within the labor force. So
Sean, can you describe what is the participation rate for our listeners?
So it's basically the amount of people within the United States from the ages of 18 all the way to 80, just that have the ability to hold a job. So it kind of looks at anybody that really has the ability to work, no matter if they're working or not, or if they've retired, and how many of those people are participating in the labor force. So gotcha. you have to be looking for a job or have a job to be considered in that 62.4% of participating. Gotcha.
They go all the way to 80.
Yep. So again, that's still much lower than where we were pre-pandemic. Again, one of the big reasons is that thought is many baby boomers have just said, "Hey, I'm done. I've reached the point. I'm retiring. I don't want to take part in a job at this time." But there's also many other factors, such as people still worried about COVID and other things like that. But good to see it ticking up, even though that does create a higher rate on the unemployment rate. Next thing we'd look at, job openings, labor turnover survey, still coming down somewhat since March, from a record, but still at very high levels. There are now 1.8 job openings for every unemployed worker. Voluntary quits, which is people that quit their job because they see a better opportunity, better pay elsewhere. That rate has also eased somewhat, but still at a had a very healthy 4.2 million workers or 2.8% respectively. So still seeing high labor demand. And again, with the Fed raising rates and wanting to see some loosening of the labor market, that's kind of what we're watching in these numbers. And that really, it's taken place a little bit. We've seen jobless claims, unemployment claims come up, tick up, and we'll talk about that here in a second on the negative side. But really still a fairly strong and healthy labor market as we currently sit today. All right, and then now looking at the Institute of Supply Management, their manufacturing and service indices. Both of these manufacturing and service indices maintained expansion territory for the month of August. The manufacturing index maintained a 52.8% level for the consecutive month in August. New orders, production, backlog of orders, and employment, those numbers that make up that manufacturing index, we're all in expansion territory. And again, on these diffusion indices, if you're above 50, you're in expansion territory. If you're below 50, you're in contraction. But one of the other things we look at is what these purchasing managers, what these panelists are talking about. They usually have like a statement that they say to the service. And basically they continue to express unease about a softening economy. But there have been more positive comments in this most recent month about demand as new orders return to expansion after 2 months of decline. And then looking at the other side of things, the service index rose to the highest level in 4 months. It's at 56.9% in August from 56.7 in July. And again, many of those sub indices, which make up the overall service index, at all in expansion territory. And panelists are seeing better demand and some relief from some of the cost pressures that they've been really having issues with for the first time in many months. So I think this, the service index, again, is a larger part of the U.S. economy, but a lot of times they kind of talk about manufacturing areas being kind of the canary in the coal mine. It usually declines if going into recession first. But the other part about this is what makes this time frame different is and kind of what we expected to see from this year is as COVID lockdowns were eased, the expectation was that the service index would perform better as people get out and want to be in public and will spend more on the service side of things. And that's what we've seen so far this year. So airfares, TSA numbers have continued to get better. We've seen a lot of spending on hotel rooms and services like that. So the travel industry has definitely been a big benefactor this year, and we expect that to continue as we through the remainder of the year. But we then would expect that the manufacturing industry doesn't do as well because the demand for goods that were definitely pulled ahead during lockdowns and more people ordered more goods, the manufacturing industry would struggle because of that. So we'll see if this continues or if this really is a full slowdown. But only really, unfortunately, time will tell to see where this goes. The other thing we look at is the earnings season, and we're basically wrapping up second quarter earnings season. We're only a couple companies left to report, so we really have all the data overall. So for this second quarter, 77.5% of companies reported above analyst expectations and 69.4% of companies reported revenue above analyst expectations with year-over-year earnings growth at 9% and revenue growth at 14% on a year-over-year basis. So continuing to see good things on the positive side. And then looking next at the negative side of things, we continue to have a monetary policy mistake as kind of the number one on our list. Fed Chair Powell has stated that the Fed is not only determined to bring down inflation, but has both the tools we need and resolve it will take to restore price stability for American families and businesses, along with Chairman, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, various regional Fed presidents have all expressed their belief that the U.S. economy can navigate higher rates and simultaneously avoid recession. But here recently, some of the statements they've made, they said they do expect to see more pain in the economy due to their policy of continuing to raise rates to get inflation down to the numbers they want to see, closer to that 2% level. So, and again, looking back at this in history at this time period, we could say the monetary policy mistake was already made when they didn't start to reduce easy monetary policy last year. But really, only time will tell. And a soft landing, we believe, is still possible, but looking less and less likely as they continue to raise rates. Really, they're pretty fairly close to kind of their what they'd call their neutral rates. So really moving the economy, moving their policy into a more contractionary or hawkish type of a policy at this time. But with inflation at all time high or and at 40-year highs, really don't can't fault them at trying to bring inflation down.
Well, and we're expecting numbers today. We're recording on Tuesday the 13th in the morning, so they haven't released it yet. But we're expecting inflation numbers today, aren't we?
Right. And it will be interesting to see what these numbers say today, and really could see a large reaction to how they come in today.
So talk us through, if you would, what should we see if they come in higher than expectations or lower than expectations? So that listeners know kind of the two paths we could go down.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see what we see if we look back. So one of the big things about inflation is you have to look back, okay, what were the year ago numbers? And if we look back at 2021, this month and the August number and the July number, which we this will be the August number, we actually had 2 months of higher inflation last year. So that makes for easier comparisons, meaning because they were already high last year, those numbers will be harder to have really, really high numbers. But again, this year, but we'll see. Obviously, the July number was really the first big uptick that we saw last year. August maintained that big uptake, did come down somewhat, but then we had 2 months in a row of kind of a drop off. So I think the one thing I'm really focusing on is more about the core number. The headline CPI number has energy and food prices in it that can be very volatile. But what we've seen over these last couple months is those numbers in the energy and food markets have continued to come down. As we've seen, I think oil and gasoline prices fall by 20-30% since their highs in June. So I think what I'm looking at is, again, what we kind of talked about earlier this year. I'm looking more at the month over month number and to see if it is below the 0.4% level rather than above the 0.5% level. That 0.5% level would say that we're maintaining at above basically a 5% inflation level, and below that would below that level would mean we're really making progress. So that's kind of the number that I'm watching, that month over month core inflation level, because the other thing that I think the market is looking at, and one thing that we really understand is, if you look at, and it's difficult to talk about a lot of these things, there's a lot of nuances to it. So that's why a lot of people can get confused pretty easily. But one of the big things that we look at, so obviously the Fed talks about, they have recently at least established, okay, well, we do look at the CPI, this headline CPI number and the core CPI number, but their main main focus still is the core PCE number, which is not coming out today. It'll come out in the next few weeks. But if you look historically, when inflation has been extremely volatile in those time periods, typically that headline CPI number and core CPI number go away from the core PCE number. When that takes place, they eventually do come back to that core PCE number. So that even though they're up at 8 or 9% here recently, the core PCE number is actually still is under 5% and right around that 4.8% number. So I think, historically, they always kind of come back, drift back down to that core PCE number. That's going to be, I think, the main signal that I'm looking at is to where the risks from inflation are at. I mean, obviously, this number, this core CPI number is important. Again, if you have, a number, a month over month number, an annualized number that doesn't come down, I think we'll see pain in equity markets and possibly bond rates go higher, which we need to sell off in bond markets as well, because that would in turn mean that the Fed needs to keep their kind of foot on the gas their monetary policy and will continue to raise rates more going forward.
Got it.
Okay.
All right.
The next thing we look at is initial weekly jobless claims. Again, this is the part of the jobs market and the jobs reports that has shown some weakness. That jobless claims have risen about 57% over the past 4 months to an 8-month high of 260. And I think in the most recent weeks, they've actually come down a little bit from that. So again, that's something that the Fed does not want to see is that they were rising, but then they've kind of fallen back again. So they want to see a little bit more weakness in this number, but this number definitely has ticked up. We were at the beginning of the year, we were down below the 200,000 mark. I believe we're right around the 240, 235 level. So have still risen quite a bit from where we began the year. So still actually fairly good numbers still. We really don't become highly concerned about problems in the job market until these jobless claims get over the 300,000 level. But still something to watch to see where the trend is going, really.
Right.
And then the final thing, that negative that we're continuing to monitor and watch is China's zero COVID policy. Obviously, one of the things that you don't hear me talking about as much in this report as I have over the past few years is COVID, and again, I think the only real impact that we've seen from COVID and think it'll have going forward, unless something unexpected takes place, is China's zero COVID policy and how that can affect the supply and chain healing process around the globe. And so as just a few cases can lead to lockdowns of entire cities, we still think that'll hamper the supply chain healing and continue to cause unfortunately inflationary pressures.
Right. All right. Well, Sean, do you have any conclusions to kind of wrap up this month's take on the market?
Yeah. Again, it's our expectation going forward is really continued volatility in markets. looking at where things are going and what is going on. Again, we've experienced one of the worst starts of the year, and we're now getting into the ninth month of this year. But one of the first beginnings and starts of this year for a 60/40 portfolio has really ever experienced. So with the right around a 20% pullback in stocks, and
bond market and rates rising at a pretty incredible clip. So bonds you own has seen a pretty large decline, right around 10 to 12% for the major indices that we focus on. It's been pretty difficult and very hard on investors, that's for sure. I think a few things that we've been talking to our clients about is we again continue, hey, we will get through this. If we look back at history and look at 20% pullbacks, bear markets, I think one of the big things that we look at is, okay, when this takes place, at least historically, what kind of goes on 12 months down the line, 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line, and in all instances, basically 100% of the time, I believe it's about 95% of the time, the returns from if you invested money at that 20% down mark, 12 months, 3 years, 5 years from that point, all returns have been positive from that point. So right. Something to really keep, make sure to keep a long-term focus for clients is when this takes place, we do have, the good news is from here is we have positive returns. Right. The other part of it with the Fed raising rates like they have, what we've seen in the fixed income markets is we're starting to see rates that we haven't seen since at least 2013 and haven't seen on a consistent basis since about 2008, 2009 on high quality investments. And what that means is again on those bonds where the coupon is on high quality investments reaching 3.5-4%, obviously those returns coming forward from here are much better and much higher. So we expect continued volatility throughout this year. Usually these midterm election years are the most volatile in a presidential cycle or political cycle. But another thing that we look at with these election years is they're volatile up until about the end of October, and then the seasonality of getting into the November and December, getting in that Santa Claus rally time frame, usually brings some more positive returns for these mid-cycle election years. So we still are pretty conservative in portfolios. We're basically at a neutral allocation to equities, a little overweight weight fixed income, as we've seen these better rates on higher quality investments. We do expect volatility going forward, but again, we think purchasing at this time frame when we're 20% down in markets, long term from here, you'll have good returns from if we look out over a 12 month and 3 and 5 year time frame.
Awesome. Well, Sean McCreary, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today and talk about the current market conditions. If any of our listeners have a question or would like to learn more, what's the best way they can get the support they need?
The best way is going on our website at www.mybank.com and clicking on the wealth management tab and finding the local wealth advisor in your area. And you'll have, there's multiple ways that you'll see on the website to contact us from there.
Excellent. And last but not least, I would like to say congratulations. I didn't mention this when I introduced you at the beginning, but you have a new title, Sean McCreary, Vice President and Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. So apologize for missing that earlier, but congrats on the promotion there.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our show. You can always find more episodes by visiting mybank.com/podcast or find us on your favorite podcast app. You can also leave feedback, ask questions, or request a topic for us to discuss by sending an email to podcast@mybank.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time with more helpful content. But until then, we wish you the best in focusing on what matters most to you.
First United, my bank for life. This document is a general communication being provided for informational purposes only. It is educational in nature and not designed to be taken as advice or a recommendation for any specific investment product, strategy, plan, feature, or other purpose in any jurisdiction, nor is it a commitment from First United Bank and Trust or any of its subsidiaries to participate in any of the transactions mentioned herein. Any examples are generic, hypothetical, and for illustration purposes only. This material does not contain sufficient information to support an investment decision and should not be relied upon in evaluating the merits of investing in any securities or products. In addition, users should make independent assessment of the legal, regulatory, credit, and accounting implications and determine together with their own professional advisors if any investment mentioned herein is believed to be suitable to their personal goals. Investors should ensure that they obtain all available relevant information before making any investment. Any forecasts, figures, opinions, or investment techniques and strategies set out are for information purposes only, based on certain assumptions and current market conditions, and are subject to change without prior notice. All information presented herein is considered to be accurate at the time of production, but no warranty of accuracy is given, and no liability in respect of any error or omission is accepted. It should be noted that investment involves risks. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate in accordance with market conditions and taxation agreements, and investors may not get back the full amount invested. Both past performance and yields are not reliable indicators of current and future results.